I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. This week, the Missouri History Museum issued a public plea for artifacts that relate to the unrest in Ferguson. Meanwhile, the library at Washington University has been building a digital repository called Documenting Ferguson. Later, we're going to talk to WashU's Shannon Davis and the museum's Christopher Gordon about what they're doing and why. Willis writer Arnold has a feature today on Tech Supreme and his work in St. Louis with a new record label, and Nancy Fowler previews some activities planned for Black History Month. This year, the St. Louis Theater Circle Awards are set for Monday, March 23rd at COCA, recognizing outstanding actors, directors, lighting, sound design, and everything in between. Please welcome two critics, and I think I can safely say that I read everything they write. That's Judith Newmark from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and Malcolm Gay of the Riverfront Times. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Steve.
And I'm not exaggerating. I actually really do. And
thank you.
Enjoy your work very much.
Wonderful.
So I may read everything that you write, but how much St. Louis theater do each of you really see? I mean, you can't possibly see everything, can you?
I do. I see,
really?
I'm pretty sure, every professional play in St. Louis. But we don't include all of them in the awards because there are many tour shows that come to St. Louis at the Fox, the Peabody, and those are terrific shows. They're very enjoyable, but the St. Louis Theater Circle Awards are all about theater born and bred here. We're talking about the Repertory Theater of St. Louis, the Muni, Stages, the Black Rep, a host of small theaters, and those are the ones that are created right here for local audience by local artists.
Well, Malcolm, Judith seems to see everything. Can you say the same?
Judith sees everything. I can say that for sure.
Well, what about you?
I see probably three shows a week. I probably average three shows a week. So I don't see everything because I also do art reviews, and so I cover the visual arts world as well. But for the most part, I see,
I'd say
90% of all professional shows that come into town.
I always think you guys have like a dream job. I put you in the same category as a restaurant critic because I would love to be paid like to watch shows and eat.
This is better for your waistline.
It really is the healthier job.
So is it as much fun as I think it is?
Oh, yeah.
It's the best job in the world.
It is such a pleasure. And I look around sometimes, maybe it's not the best show I've ever seen, but I think, gee, everybody else is here on their free time.
Yeah. Okay, how about a two-part question for each of you? Overall, how do you assess the theater scene here in St. Louis, and then specifically this last year?
It was, I think, a terrific year. It was a year in which we lost one theater. That's always going to happen. There are also some new people on the horizon. And it was the year in which I think Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, which is a free event that draws huge crowds, really came into its own with a double production of Henry IV and Henry V. And we needed two shows of that.
Malcolm, this past year?
I would agree with what Judith said. I would say that we did lose a couple of – we lost Hot City Theater, which I thought was one of the best theaters in town. And we're seeing the retirement or stepping down of Donna Northcott and Agnes Wilcox, who are both stalwarts of the St. Louis theater scene. But at the same time, we've had some fantastic young talent come onto stage. You know, one of the leads in Midsummer Night's Dream.
Caroline Amos.
She was fantastic. And also the lead from Bonnie and Clyde from New Line Theater. Just wonderful, wonderful new talent.
We've seen a lot of interesting musicals, too. New Line is part of that, where these are not famous titles. These are shows that flopped in New York, but somebody said, you know what, it's worth another chance. So we've had some real interesting offbeat things.
And edgy stuff, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's stuff that you wouldn't be able to find, you know, on Broadway or anything like that.
You know, you mentioned the theaters that close. I always find that interesting. And because theater groups don't always close because they're unsuccessful or that they don't produce good work. What I always think of, remember the Orange Girls a few years back? They won a whole bunch of, I guess it was Kevin Kline Awards then.
Mm-hmm.
They won tons of Kevin Kline Awards. And then they were gone.
Well, running a theater troupe is very, very labor-intensive. It's extremely demanding. People don't get paid to do it on the whole,
mm-hmm.
or very little. And you just don't know from one show to the next whether anybody will come. I think it's a draining kind of work, and I applaud anybody who's able to do it for more than a season or two.
I'd add, though, that a lot of these theater troupes may, I mean, they're kind of like clouds in a sense. I mean, they kind of, there are these wonderful condensations where you'll have, you know, a group of really talented people come together and that will disperse. It doesn't mean those people go away. They're still in the scene. They're still working with other people, and they'll arrive, or, you know, they'll you know, appear in another show. So it's, so when you see a theater group break down, it's not necessarily the end of anything.
It's fluid.
It's very fluid.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, before I go any farther, then just briefly about the theater scene in St. Louis overall. I mean, how do we stack up to other cities around the Midwest or other places?
Oh, this isn't Chicago. Let's not kid ourselves.
I've heard that.
But I'd say that since I've been covering theater in St. Louis for a long time, for much longer than young Malcolm. And it's grown by leaps and bounds. It is healthier. Groups can last longer. There's much more interplay among groups. And I think that there is a greater audience that is developing. I always say to people, make yourself a promise. This year you're going to go to see one play that you never, one theater you never saw anything at before. Mm-hmm. Go someplace different.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would say, as young Malcolm, that since I've been, you know, working as the critic for the RFT, which has only been a year, you know, I've studied theater in London, and I've, you know, performed in plays, and I was really impressed, or have been really impressed, with the quality of work that you see consistently. I mean, not every show is going to, you know, be a revelation by any means, but there is some incredibly talented and thought-provoking and really transformational work that goes on in this town.
Do you ever hold back if a play is really bad? Number one, I think probably most plays aren't real bad to begin with. But do you ever hold back a little just out of, I don't know, compassion?
I think there's no excuse for being mean. That's not right. When people create plays, they are trying to make art. That whether you think they've succeeded or not, that's their goal. And I think you can honor the intention even if you feel the execution was lacking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do I hold back? I would say I do sometimes. I wouldn't formulate it as being mean necessarily. Some of the smaller groups, when I see a show that I think could be that has holes in it, or I see something that's lacking, what I'll oftentimes do is focus on, you know, what they did right and encourage what they did right, and while at the same time not being shy about noting those things that I think they could work on.
Well, I enjoy both your work, by the way, and enjoy whatever it is you do right. I know that you've chosen some particular categories. Obviously, there are too many categories for us to mention each one here. But you've chosen some. So what's your thought process about what we're going to talk about today?
Well, we have, as a group, made our nominations by vote. And these are examples of what we consider the best work. Now, the entire list is up at the radio station's website, right?
It will be by the end of the hour.
And also at STL Today, that's the Post-Dispatch website. At the end of the program.
As well as riverfronttimes.com.
And probably quite a few others, because all of us who belong to the St. Louis Theater Circle publish someplace.
Right.
So it's going to go up today. And we will urge you, if you feel like this is interesting, come. Everybody is welcome at the awards, which will be at COCA and which will be carried on the air live on HEC-TV.
Right. And the award ceremony will be catered by With Love Catering, which is accompanied by Michael Brighton, who's an actor here in town. The award ceremony, I think, is $15 for general admission.
Just for the ticket. And if you want to eat, it's a little more.
Yeah, it's a swank affair.
Okay. Do I need black tie and red carpet and all that? Or?
I think people dress. These are actors. Of course they get dressed.
But do not wear the red carpet.
Oh, that would be stupid.
Whatever you do.
That would be stupid. Yeah, right. Okay, where would you like to begin? What would you like to discuss?
Well, I guess we'd like to start with giving some of the nominations,
sure.
Right?
And so a little bit about our process. There are 15 of us in the group. And so each of these nominations, there are 5 nominations per category.
Now, you're not all reviewers, per
se,
are you? We are
all reviewers.
You are, okay.
There are 15 reviewers in this town.
Wow.
It's quite extraordinary. And so we all vote. We all pick we go through a rigorous process of talking out, you know, which ones we think are the best. These represent the 5 best that we collectively came up with. We'll then vote again. So we actually don't know what the actual winners will be.
No, we haven't voted yet, but we do have the nominees.
Yep.
In our 3 categories, comedy, drama, and musical.
Yeah. So shall we dive in?
I think we shall.
Okay. So for Outstanding Actress in a Comedy, the nominees are Sarah Jane Alverson in The Little Dog Laughed at Stray Dog Theater, Nicole Angeli for The Liar through St. Louis Shakespeare, Nancy Bell at Blythe Spirit at St. Louis Actors Studio, Teresa Doggett, Shirley Valentine through Dramatic License Productions, and Dale Hodges for Noises Off at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis.
And for Outstanding Actor in a Comedy, the nominees are Ted Gregory in Quills at Max and Louis Productions, Raymond McAnally, One Man, Two Governors at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis, Ben Nordstrom in Reality at Hot City Theater, Michael James Reed, Blythe Spirit at the St. Louis Actors Studio, and Jared Sanzagero in The Liar, St. Louis Shakespeare.
Okay. So moving on to Outstanding Actress in a Drama, Andrea Fry for her role in A Raisin in the Sun through The Black Rep, Linda Kennedy, who was the sole actress in Windmill Baby through Upstream Theater, Kate Levy, who was, again, sole actress in The Other Place, or excuse me, she was not, Kate Levy for The Other Place at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis, Samantha Moyer for The Diary of Anne Frank through New Jewish Theater, and M. Pirro for KFD and Urban Legend through Blue Rose Stage Collective.
And the nominees for Outstanding Actor in a Drama are Jim Butts, Henry V's Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, John Contini in Death of a Salesman at Insight Theater Company, John Flack in The Normal Heart, Hot City Theater, Bobby Miller in The Diary of Anne Frank at New Jewish, and Jerry Vogel in Forget Me Not at Upstream Theater.
Okay, so moving on to Outstanding Actress in a Musical, LaVon Byers for Cabaret at Stray Dog Theater, Carrie Ely for Fiddler on the Roof at Stages St. Louis, Abigail Isom for Seussical, which was at the Muni, Beth Leavell for Hello Dolly at the Muni, and Larissa White for Bonnie and Clyde at New Line Theater.
And for Outstanding Actor in a Musical, the nominees are Rob McClure in The Addams Family at the Muni, Ben Nordstrom in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying at Stages St. Louis, Matt Pentecost in Bonnie and Clyde at New Line Theater, Bruce Sabbath in Fiddler on the Roof at Stages St. Louis, and John Tartaglia in Seussical at the Muni.
Okay, so now we're moving on to overall productions. So the Outstanding Production of a Comedy, we nominated All in the Timing at St. Louis Actors Studio, Blythe Spirit, again at the St. Louis Actors Studio, The Liar through St. Louis Shakespeare, and A Midsummer Night's Dream at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis, and One Man, Two Governors at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis.
And for Outstanding Production of a Drama, the nominees for the Circle Award are Death of a Salesman at Insight Theater Company, The Diary of Anne Frank at the New Jewish Theater, Eat Your Heart Out at RS Theatrics, The Normal Heart at Hot City Theater, and The Price, also at New Jewish Theater.
And for Outstanding Production of a Musical, we have Bonnie and Clyde at New Line Theater, Cabaret at Stray Dog Theater, Hands on a Hard Body at New Line Theater, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying at Stages St. Louis, and Seussical at the Muni.
And this year, once again, we're giving special awards. These are for body of work, and they're not really a surprise because I'm going to say right now who they're going to. Agnes Wilcox, who for years headed TNT, an excellent little theater here, and then moved on to found the groundbreaking Prison Performing Arts Project, which works with prisoners. And Donna Northcutt, who, as the artistic director and founder of St. Louis Shakespeare, which is different from the festival, has headed a troupe for over 30 years that this spring will become one of seven companies in the United States to have done all of Shakespeare's plays.
In the time remaining, is there anything that jumps out at you that's surprised you or anything that's your favorite? I noticed one thing that I think in the directing category, Scott Miller was nominated twice, which is sort of nice for him. Mm-hmm. So anything like that that jumps out at you?
Well, I know that it isn't really a surprise. The two of our biggest theaters lead the nominations, 23 for the Rep, 21 for the Muni.
That's usually how it goes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but it does mean that they do a lot of work and they do good work.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Malcolm? Well, I would say what jumped out to me is actually one thing that we didn't actually mention, and that was the outstanding new plays, which have been – I mean, there's just been some incredible original work that's shown on St. Louis stages these years. So if you don't mind, I'd go through some of those.
We've just got a minute or so left, but please do.
Okay. Human Terrain, which is a play by Jennifer Blackmer, which played at Mustard Seed Theater, just terrific. Rebecca Gilman with Soups, Stews, and Casseroles, 1976, which was at the Rep. Nick Otten for Mary Shelley Monster Show at Slightly Askew Theater Ensemble, which is a tiny little group. Stephen Parrick for Four Sugars at Stray Dog Theater, and Leah Romeo for Reality at Hot City Theater.
The St. Louis Theater Circle Awards are Monday, March 23rd, 7 o'clock at COCA. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have links to everything that you need to know. And remember, we'll have a full list of all the nominations on our website by the end of the hour today. So, Judith Newmark is the theater critic for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Always good to see you, Judith.
Good to see you too, Steve.
Malcolm Gay is the critic at large at the Riverfront Times. First time to meet you, but great to see you. And I understand you are on to another opportunity in Boston like any day.
That's correct. I'm actually no longer the theater critic for the Riverfront Times. That will be Paul Friswald. I'm heading to Boston. I start at the Boston Globe as an arts reporter on February 9th.
Oh, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And thank you both for being here so much. Love theater, and St. Louis is a great place for it. Thank you.
Sure is.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Remembering Ferguson. This is St. Louis Public Radio.